On this episode of Rock Down South, we chat with John Jeffers from the rock band Whiskey Myers. We talk all about the new album Tornillo and much, much more. We hope y'all enjoy. Let's go.
Hey, this is John Jeffers from Whiskey Myers, and you're listening to Rock Down South.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rock Down South, a show where my friends and I chat with musical artists and ask them the questions we want to know about. Today, we sit down and talk with John Jeffers from the rock band Whiskey Myers. And Whiskey Myers is probably one of my favorite bands out there right now. So this was a pretty fun show for me to record with John. And we talk about a lot of stuff on this episode, from the upcoming album Tornillo to the new singles John Wayne and Antioch. We also talk about songwriting, even getting a little bit of a backstory around a new song coming out called Heavy on Me that John wrote. And of course, we talk about that one time the band appeared on the hit show Yellowstone. So without further ado, here's the interview. John, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Man, I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for jumping on today, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me, man.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun today. So you guys are based out of Texas, or are you guys out of Nashville or somewhere else now?
We pay bills in Texas. Yeah. I don't know how much we're actually there, but yeah, we're from Texas for sure. We're in Nashville a lot. Yeah.
I was always wondering about that, whether you guys are in Nashville station now or if you guys are still in Texas.
Right. Yeah. We do a lot of business out of Nashville and New York and LA, but yeah, we still live in Texas for sure.
Was it Palestine, mm-hmm. Texas?
Yeah, that's where I actually grew up. Yeah. Palestine. But, I actually live in Paris now, but we're all from, all the guys, we all kind of grew up together. Half of us are cousins. If we're not cousins, we're best friends growing up playing ball. But we're all from little small towns around Palestine, Texas.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So I actually absolutely love your music, listen to your albums for years. And I think I first heard you guys back in 2016. So a little while ago now. But I'm ashamed to say that I didn't instantly like your music the first couple times I heard it. And yeah. I'll tell you why. It took me a little while to get into it, but I have a good reason why. So good excuses. And here they are.
Okay.
First time I listened to you guys, I got you confused with Smith and Myers, the side project of Brent Smith and Zach Myers from Shinedown.
Okay.
I'm an idiot, I know. I was looking for their new album from Smith and Myers, and I pulled you guys up instead. And I was like, well, this isn't what I'm looking for.
Gotcha. That's actually a friend of ours. We toured with them. We did about 30 or 40 dates with them a while back. We're actually good buddies.
Oh, nice.
But that's funny. If you expected one thing from a side project, then you got us. I would imagine to be like, what the hell is that?
That's what I said. And then second time that I listened to you guys was after how much of a good rock band that I heard you guys were that I needed to check you out. And I said, okay. So, of course, I pulled up Spotify. I was ready to rock. And I pulled up the top songs at the time, and they were Stone, Broken Window Serenade, and Virginia. So all of your slow songs.
Those are not the rock and roll songs.
And I was in the mood to rock. I was like, this sounds like a soft rock band or a mellow country band. This doesn't sound like what I'm looking for right now. So needless to say, I was in the mood to rock. And it wasn't until several months later that I came across songs like On the River, Deep Down in the South, that I was like, oh, maybe I need to listen to these guys start to finish from an album.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I actually wrote On the River.
Yeah.
You should have just flipped it straight to Bitch and saw what you thought about that song.
This is before that album came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you guys are probably the reason why I don't judge a band anymore off of any songs that are recommended. I have to go straight to the album, listen start to finish before I make up my mind on anything these days.
That's really cool to hear, man. I couldn't agree more. That's the only way you should do it.
Yeah, so that's the way I came around. I'm sad to say I was not an instant fan right off the bat, but...
hey, we got you in the long run.
Yeah, don't trust Spotify. They'll lead you wrong sometimes. So one of the things that I like about you guys is that you guys just put out some good songs, man. They just don't disappoint. But you guys definitely keep me on my toes. You know, when I heard that 2019 album, self-titled, was coming out, I heard that you guys are changing your sound a little bit and going a little bit away from more of the country stuff and going a little bit more rock. And I was like, oh, well, I liked Mud a lot. I hope they didn't change everything.
Right.
But then, of course, I love the album, man.
Yeah, we didn't change much, man. We're just, it's more about the expansion than it is about changing. You know, I think everybody, from a fan point of view, or at least in my experience, like, you worry about your favorites or people you like changing, you know. But as an artist, you know, it's more about evolving. It's not really changing or like just doing stuff. Like on this album, we're not changing. We're still writing this, our same, we have rock songs, we have groovy songs, we have country songs. But, you know, we wanted to add in horns. We've always wanted to deal with horns. We've always loved them, you know. So we're just adding on layers, I think, is more about it than actually changing, you know. People do fear change in their favorite artists, you know. I do too. Shit, everybody does. But I think it's natural.
Yeah, when I heard you guys, the new single, John Wayne, when I heard that it had a little bit more of a funky vibe to it, a little bit more of a 70s vibe, yeah, and it had horns in it, it gave me anxiety for a second. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that sounds different.
That is definitely the most different song that we've gotten out there with, for sure.
But oh my gosh, is this song rocking, man. The guitar solos on there are incredible. It's a fantastic song, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, we just, we cut a music video for it, and it should be a, we're finishing up some edits and some other stuff, and it should be out within, you know, pretty soon, within the month, I bet.
And you guys started instantly playing that song live, right?
We did. Yeah. As soon as the song came out, we just started it.
That's awesome, man. I like when bands do that. They don't wait, you know, to learn it or something, right, you know, months later, they instantly play it.
Yeah. We tend to like to throw ourselves in the fire and just get up there and get after it. If we mess it up, then, you know, everybody will enjoy a mess up live together. That's a, it's kind of a live experience. You got to get fed to the wolves.
That song really sounds like a fun one live.
It is, man. It is. We actually, I think tonight we're going to play it first, right out of the chute.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
We'll see how it goes.
And then you guys just dropped a new song, Antioch.
It is.
That one's a fun one too, man. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, it's got a groove to it. Cody Cannon actually wrote that one. And it's, yeah, I was just talking about it earlier, actually. We've been talking about it all day because it just came out. But yeah, it's a pretty cool groove. It's got a lot of horns in it and background singers. And I think it's a really well-written song from Cody, for sure.
So the new album, Tornillo, coming out July 29th. Tell us a little bit about the album and how it came together.
Yeah, we're excited, man. So there's this, which is really funny that we're talking about it right now. I'm in El Paso, but we actually recorded the album in Tornillo, Texas, which is probably like, 30 minutes southeast of El Paso on the border. So it's this giant, it's called Sonic Ranch Recording Studios. It's actually gotten pretty popular lately, but... So it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's on like a 4,000 acre pecan orchard. You know, there's no TVs. You go out there and you sleep in your little cabin stuff. So you really get away from kind of society and stuff, and you just focus on music. So we did about 20 days out there. No TVs, you know.
Wow.
Just really focus on the music. And we self-produced the White Album, the self-titled, and we self-produced this one too as well.
Wow. When you guys are going into making this album, did you have goals that you wanted it to sound different, or did that just come together in the moment?
Yeah, not at all, man. No, we've never really set out to achieve a certain sound at any point during our career. We just kind of sit down in a circle and however it comes out, you know, like we said before, it's like sometimes, you know, Cody or I will have a country-ish song that we think is moving towards country. And then we get in that circle and get together, and then that song becomes a rock and roll song, you know. So there's never really a full objective. We just organically get together and let it evolve and let it do its thing.
And who in the band pulls in what direction? Like, is somebody the rock guy who always wants to do the rock and the guitar solos, and then there might be a country guy, or is it just mixed?
I think I'm probably the rock guy. I mean, we've all got so much of all that music in us, you know, that we've been inspired with it. You know, all of us love country, all of us love rock and roll. And it's I think it's just it's infused in us that you never know what the song's going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Which it keeps it exciting while you're in there, because it takes turns. And, you know, real bands, whenever they rehearse stuff like that, I think that's, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but that's how we do it. We sit down in a circle and try to figure it out.
Yeah. Speaking of rocking songs that you've written, I know you've done On the River, mm-hmm, Bitch, Bury My Bones, and Glitter Ain't Gold.
Yeah.
I like all those songs, man. They're fun, especially Glitter Ain't Gold. I feel like that one's like a gem that people miss sometimes.
Yeah, man, that was a pretty fun song for sure. Yeah, I've done some slow ones too, man. I wrote like Bad Weather that we did on the album. Home, I do Home. Some of Your Love. There's quite a few, but yeah, Glitter's pretty cool, man. It's kind of a different. It was a different angle for us. I wasn't sure that was actually going to make it on the record. While we were going through, we had like 30. I think we had like 34 songs for that record. We had to go through and really jam them and feel them and see how the band reacted to the songs. So I think that ended up being a toss up at the end. We were picking through. We needed two more songs, and we were diving through all the extras, and we landed on Glitter.
Yeah, I like that song. It sounds totally different from anything you guys had ever done before.
Yeah. And we actually, we've never played that live until last night. Last night was the first show that we played live. Now we've thrown it into the set too, so it's pretty fun.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see it when you guys come through town. That would be cool.
Heck yeah.
How do you guys pick your set lists, you know, now that we're on the topic of live performances?
You know, Cody really handles really good on the set list. But we try to make it flow, you know, like you go on it's an experience throughout the show. You know what I mean? So the way we help him with it, but he does a really good job of making it flow. But sometimes you get stagnant as an artist to where it's like, we need a change, even though the set list works and it's great. Recently, we just went in and rehearsed for, you know, a couple of days, and it's like, we got to change it up. We got to do something different. That's why we threw in Glitter. And we've thrown in John Wayne and a couple of older ones and some newer ones. But yeah, you just got to kind of feel it. And it's trial by error too. So whenever you go in and you play a set, like last night was the first night we played this new set. And then you immediately come back after the show and it's like, okay, you realize where those changes need to be. So you know that we're playing this song too early, it needs to be shoved down. So it's basically trial and error. After about, you know, a week's, three or four shows, you kind of figure out where that set list is supposed to be. It evolves and work as well.
So I know you wrote another song on the new album, Heavy on Me. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, man, that one's pretty close to me. I had an accident right before my son was born. I wrecked I had a little wreck in a
ATV, right?
Yeah. It turned out, I didn't think it was that serious, but it turned out to be a little more serious than I thought it was. I actually fractured the back of my skull behind my ear, and they had to transfer me to a unit. Long story short, we were moving into a house. It was 2 weeks before my son was born. And it's basically saying, go ahead and put the heavy on me. I was praying to God. I was praying for stuff. I used to always pray for, like, take the heaviness off of, you know, my son or my wife or anybody, and go ahead and put it on me because I can handle it. You know what I mean? And I would pray that way. And, you know, eventually I had that wreck and we had to move in that house, and I had to be there as a husband for a newborn baby that's coming into the world. So I realized, you know, you get what you pray for. You know, I got that hurt and the heaviness of having to cope with the things that were going on in our life at the time. So that song just kind of came out, and it's got a lot to do with my son Jag, and a lot to do with my family, and just true stuff.
Well, I'm really glad that you're still here with us and able to play music. I know other people sometimes aren't that lucky, even in music. I mean, Dallas Taylor, lead singer of the band Maylene and the Sons of Disaster out of Birmingham. I think he had a major ATV accident years ago and almost didn't make it. And even after he survived, I know he was in such bad shape that nobody thought he would ever play music again. But miraculously, I think they just announced a comeback, and I think the band is actually putting out new music and touring again pretty soon.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's good to hear. Yeah, you know, I wish I was being like Evel Knievel doing something stupid, but I wish I could say that, but I wasn't. You know, I just didn't have my seatbelt on, and flipped it on its side, and I guess a screw or a bolt went through. That's how quick stuff can happen. You know, you don't have to be Evel Knievel to get hurt. You just need to wear your seatbelt.
Well, I can't wait to hear this song, see what you have on it. And that was kind of my next question, because I know you and Cody had children. Did anybody else in the band have children since the last album?
No, man, just us. We're the only two that's actually in the band with kids. Yeah, and we both had them, I think we had them about 3 months apart.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so it sounds like it's affected your songwriting a little bit. Do you think it's affected Cody's on the album as well?
Yeah, there's some hints of personal. You know, we did get a little personal on this, but I think we always tend to, the songwriting on our records is always pretty personal. And if it's not a true story, like from us, then it's based on a true story from somebody that we know, you know? So I think that that's kind of what resonates with people, is that, you know, most of our stuff is pretty true to what's going on. But yeah, on this new one, there's a little in there, like we were discussing Heavy on Me, and there's a couple other songs you can tell that where it comes from. You know, it's pretty clear.
Was there any songs that you were surprised by the success of in your career? Like, you didn't think it was that great of a song, but now it seems like everybody liked it, and, you know, you have a different view on it now.
That's a good question. Let me go to my my albums here. Bury My Bones, excuse me. Bury My Bones is a song I actually ended up co-writing with Tennessee Jet. Brought him in, helped me out a little bit. But Cody Cannon had told me, he's like, dude, that's going to be a really popular song. And I was like, you know, it just doesn't really have a chorus. It just doesn't seem like it should really be that popular. But he was correct, and it really resonated pretty good. And I think it's about to go gold here in about a week or something. It's had some pretty good success.
Oh, congratulations. That's a good song.
Yeah, for sure. And Stone, that we did with Dave Cobb, that was another one that we knew it was a good song, but we didn't know that radio and the fans and everything would gravitate towards it that much. We just played a really good slow song in the studio, you know, from my point of view. And then, you know, Dave harped on us about choruses and some other stuff, but we just thought it was a really good song. But that's just goes to show that you never know what's going to happen, man. People pick up, and with how radio and everything works nowadays and podcasts and everything, you never know what's going to happen with what songs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was something I was curious about, whether you guys knew Stone was going to be a hit or not. And that's cool, man.
Not at all. It just kind of happened. And then I think it got some pretty good traction. And then the Yellowstone thing happened, and it was featured on that where we played. And before you know it, it just opened us up to a much broader audience.
Yeah, Yellowstone, one of my favorite shows. How cool was it to be featured on that? I think you're on episode 4, season 1. You guys were on that before anybody even knew about the show.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was a pretty long day. I think we were on set for 13 hours, one scene.
Wow.
It was pretty good, though. I learned that to respect actors, because they're pretty good at their job. I know that.
Now, it seems like that show, that episode came out, I think, in July of 2018, and most people I know didn't even get into the show until, like, 2020. Did you guys see, like, a slow burn of popularity from that?
Man, I don't know. That's a really good question, man. Initially, the song was a pop. I mean, it did. There was a major pop from the song, and we didn't think anything about it. We didn't know it was going to be a hit show. We had been asked, the producer, Taylor Sheridan, had just asked us, can I use some of your music? And we were like, hell yeah, man, we don't care. Would you like to be in the film? And we were like, dude, we're down for whatever. We didn't think it was going to be a popular thing at the time. But we were just kind of going through the motions, doing stuff, you know, that we needed to do for the career.
Oh, wow. So I know you guys have a massive tour that you guys have going on right now. How excited are you guys to be back at this?
Yeah, we're stoked, man. There's a lot of cool places we're going to be going. We got like a Red Rocks date in there. We got all kinds of stuff. We're pretty excited.
Sold out Red Rocks in, like, was it days or was it hours?
It was less than a day. I'm not sure how many. I don't know. A couple hours, I guess.
Oh, wow. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's a bucket lister too. You know, we've been invited to play it several times, and we always said that none of us have ever been there. We've never seen a show there. We've never been there. We've always said, if we're going to go, we're going to headline it. And that'll be the first time we ever walk in the place. So it's pretty exciting to be there and being able to do that.
That's quite epic.
Yeah. It's been really hard to say no before, I promise you that.
Headlining it, first time. Wow. So speaking of performances, what is the worst show that you've ever played? Maybe it was a bad performance you had, bad crowd, small crowd, or maybe just a weird venue.
The worst. Oh, man. We were pretty young, and we lived in Tyler. We all lived together, actually, in the house in Tyler, Texas. And we performed at a place, at one of the bigger venues in Tyler that we finally made it to for being a little nobody band. I don't even know if we had an album at that point, maybe just an EP. But we decided we were going to play Freebird, right? Like every little young kid, I was probably 20. I think I started touring when I was 20. So we thought we were going to play Freebird, and we figured out that that's a song that you shouldn't mess with, which everybody should know. You probably shouldn't play Freebird. But yeah, we started going in circles, and we messed up so bad that we couldn't get back on track. So halfway through it, we just quit in the middle of the song and call the sound guys up to the stage and pretend like our monitors and everything was messing up there. It was a total lie in front of the whole crowd. We just pretended like something was wrong, blamed it on the engineers. And then once we started back up, we just started on the next song.
Messed up Freebird. Did you play it after that live again?
Absolutely not. That was the one and only time. And we'll never go back to it. We're scarred for life.
You guys heard it here. They will not play Freebird live, no matter how many times you yell it. So I know you guys played Download Festival once or twice over in Europe. And of course, that's a massive hard rock and heavy metal festival. Yeah. How was that?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. You know, like you mentioned earlier, we've been fortunate to be able to dabble on both sides of that fence between country and rock and roll. We've done so many tours with rock and roll guys, and then we've done so many tours with country guys, and we've done tours with Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, and going over there to the Download Fest, we've been able to hold our own on both sides of that fence, you know, so we've been lucky to be able to do that. But Download Fest is pretty cool. I think it was like 100-something thousand. And we played on the first time, I think it was Sunday morning, and it was pouring down rain. And there's 100,000 people out there just hooping and hollering. It's pretty cool.
So these next questions are what we close with and ask everyone.
Okay.
So first question, what would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Don't slow down, actually. Most people would say slow down, but if we would have slowed down, we'd never be where we're at now. Don't slow down.
Great answer. Next question. What are you drinking lately? And if you don't drink alcohol, it could be anything refreshing you like to drink.
Miller Lite. Miller Lite. Every day. We call them Copper Tops. we're actually sponsored by Miller, and they've always been really good to us. And we love an ice cold Miller Lite on a hot day.
Can't go wrong with Miller. It's a good one.
I love it. Copper Tops, man.
Copper Tops. So as you know, this is Rock Down South. So what is something, or maybe a couple things that come to mind, that you love about the South?
Oh, man. The morals. There's something different about, you know, being raised and being from the South. Not that everywhere else is not good, because everywhere on earth that we've ever been has always been great. But there's a different moral and values that you have whenever you grow up in the South. And I think you can't really get that anywhere else in the world. And it's a privilege to be able to come from the South, for sure.
Hey, thank you so much, John, for being a part of the show today. Where can people find and connect with you guys online?
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. Yeah, you can find us, you know, all over the webs, if you will. You got your Instagrams and Facebooks and all that. And you can go to whiskeymyers.com. You can get the official tour dates and get all your swag and all your stuff. But that's the best way to get a hold of us. And so you don't go to those third-party sites for tickets. Kind of be smart about your tickets, and you won't pay $500.
All right. We got Tornillo coming out July 29th as well. Anything else?
That's it, man. Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I had an awesome time chatting with John. He is an incredible musician, and this band is really on a rocket ship of success these days. These guys really just don't make bad songs, in my opinion. And speaking of songs, I actually do have one small post-interview update to share with you guys. I heard from another member of the band that it actually was not Freebird that the band messed up playing live all those years ago, that it was actually another Skynyrd song, and that one is Tuesday's Gone that they messed up in Tyler, Texas. But regardless, I don't think these guys will be playing any Lynyrd Skynyrd songs live in the future, so definitely don't be one of those guys yelling Freebird at the shows. And while we're on the topic of live shows, go check out Whiskey Myers' tour schedule, as they are on a massive tour right now and may be coming to a city near you. Make sure to go follow John and Whiskey Myers on all of their social media pages and give their latest single, John Wayne and Antioch, a listen. And keep an eye out for the new album, Tornillo, as it's coming out July 29th. Check out all our content at rockdownsouth.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest updates. And as always, the views and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs and don't necessarily reflect our own. I'm Mark, and you've been listening to Rock Down South. See y'all next time.